This is KVNF's regional newscast for Wednesday, April 7th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Initial returns show Grand Junction voters elected three new city council members and re-elected another in yesterday's municipal election. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports current council member Rick Taggart was re-elected. Voters also picked Dennis Simpson, Abe Herman, and Randall Wrights. Voters repealed a 2011 ban on marijuana sales within Grand Junction city limits. The Sentinel reports ballot question 2A passed with 58% of voters. Only about 55% approved companion ballot measure 2B, which imposes taxes on those sales. Voters approved raising taxes on marijuana sales from the city's normal 3.25% rate to 8.25%. Revenues will go to parks and recreation facilities, including trails and open spaces. Retail weed sales are already legal in Palisade and DeBec. Senator Michael Bennett told a meeting at Pathways Family Shelter in Grand Junction on Monday that he hopes a forthcoming infrastructure package in Congress will include resources for housing. The other major initiative Bennett asked local leaders to help with is making the expanded child tax credit permanent. It was recently increased and expanded to include more families, but only for this year. Bennett says it will cut child poverty in Colorado in half. Representative Lauren Boebert hosted a roundtable discussion in Junction yesterday to discuss keeping the Bureau of Land Management headquarters there. Staffers for fellow House Natural Resource Committee members from Colorado, Representatives Diana DeGette and Doug Lamborn, attended virtually. Washington State Congressman Dan Newhouse said, quote, "The BLM headquarters being in Grand Junction doesn't only benefit Mesa County or the state of Colorado, it benefits the entire West," according to CPR. Senator John Hickenlooper joined in a panel discussion yesterday at Levitt Pavilion in Denver with musicians, promoters, and venue managers to discuss Colorado's music industry. The badly battered industry was the first to shut down and maybe the last to come back. But Chris Zacher, executive director of the Levitt Pavilion, said live music contributes $1.9 billion a year in economic impact for the state, according to Rocky Mountain PBS. Venues are finding ways to once again invite guests to see live music. Planet Bluegrass held their first of many smaller, scaled-down concerts last weekend in Lyons. Despite Governor Jared Polis releasing about half of the state from requirements for facial coverings, Delta County remains under the mask mandate due to a recent rise in case numbers. County Public Information Officer Darnell Place-Wise provided commissioners a COVID update yesterday. She said the mask mandate remains in place, even though the county is listed as green on the state's COVID dial. The uptick in COVID cases is attributed to schools having more cases, virus mutations, and spring break activity. As of April 4th, the County Health Department reported 5 new cases in the past 24 hours, with 27 active cases, resulting in 0 hospitalizations. Overall, the county testing rate went up about 3%. Colorado lawmakers have introduced a $34 billion budget they say will restore education funding and help residents recover from the pandemic. KVNF's Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Lawmakers are upbeat as they prepare to debate the spending plan. It includes $800 million in stimulus spending and road projects like repairing the Eisenhower Johnson Tunnel. The plan has come a long way since last spring, when lawmakers were reading binders with more than 1,000 pages of potential cuts. Senator Dominic Moreno helped write the proposal for next year.
There's a lot in this budget to celebrate and to make sure that we are able to weather the economic storms ahead and come back better than we were before.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers endorsed it Tuesday morning. The full Senate will have their say this Thursday. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The Delta County Board of Commissioners yesterday took up the issue of privatizing recycling collection in a work session. After some confusion about live streaming, since the commissioners have returned to in-person meetings now that the county has reached level green on the state's COVID dial, KVNF's Kate Redmond got a recap of the recycling situation from Robbie LaValle, the Delta County Administrator.
This recycling issue is super interesting because we all depend on it. It's interesting to me that there was only one vendor, but two proposals. Can you go over what incentives they were laying out?
Recycling is very important to Delta County. One, it was established in 2012 as a pilot program, but clearly then now we have private enterprise that is providing recycling, and so it was time to address that, and that was done via releasing an RFP on March 10th. We did have one vendor that responded to the RFP. In that response, they provided two options for Delta County commissioners to consider. The first option is to put a free paper and cardboard bin in each of the communities of Hotchkiss, Cedar Ridge, and Delta. And then at their facility here in the county, then they would offer a punch card system, $5 per single stream. It could go up to $25 if it was a commingled or a significant larger stream. And then that cost would be $40,000 for Delta County. Option B was $125,000 for Delta County, but that would have a free recycling for all citizens in Delta County at their facility. And then in addition, the free cardboard and newspaper and paper bin in each of the same communities. So the commissioners today heard the history, heard the current status of recycling, listened to the two options, asked questions about those, and then it became apparent there was a discrepancy in the tonnage that was provided in the RFP versus the tonnage that was reported at the landfill. So the commissioners have asked staff to go back and clarify the tonnage, exact tons, and then exact cubic yards, so that we can look at what is being not put into the landfill and the value of that versus the recycling. In addition, we presented what surrounding counties are doing for recycling.
And that is the issue, right, that you divert materials that can be recycled out of the landfill?
Correct. Now, of course, as we all know, it doesn't take long to know that the recycling at the world level has changed significantly, and we want to make sure that what we're removing from our landfill doesn't end up, you know, in a landfill somewhere else, and we are defeating the purpose. So we're trying to be careful and investigate that and not create another problem for someone else.
To know that it's actually being recycled.
Correct.
Which is a big question where plastics are concerned.
Absolutely, because the plastics number 3 through 7, of course, are not going to be able to be taken. So they are going to end up in the landfill and not be able to be recycled.
And when you speak of a recycling site, are you speaking of the current one between Crawford and Paonia?
When we call the transfer station, that is the facility that's located just outside of Hotchkiss, yes, in between Crawford and Paonia.
Those kind of sound like viable options.
When we put a value to what's not being put into the landfill, then we're in excess of the proposal B. But we want to double check again and clarify the two figures. So just to make sure, we are looking at apples to apples and not apples to oranges.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Wednesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.